Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Today's sponsor of Hack the Entrepreneur is DesignCrowd, a website that helps startups and small businesses outsource or crowdsource custom graphics, logos, and web design from over 500,000 designers around the world. Check out designcrowd.com/hack. That's designcrowd.com/hack to learn more and receive a special $100 VIP offer when you start your next project. Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is an award-winning certified financial planner, karaoke enthusiast, and an entrepreneur. After working in traditional financial planning firms since 2007, she quit her job at a New York startup to start her own business. She is the founder of Gen Y Planning, where she works exclusively with young professionals across the country to help them navigate their finances. Unlike traditional financial planners, my guest runs her business from her laptop. Now, let's hack Sophia Berra. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Enhance Wood Renewal. And as today's sponsor, they would like to ask if you have ever considered owning your own business that could enhance your lifestyle and grow your income. Enhance Wood Renewal is the number one wood refinishing franchise in the United States. It needs you to help keep pace with their rapid growth and to meet the demands of thousands of Americans who are looking to update their kitchen cabinets and hardwood floors. Make this year your best year and join the business that Entrepreneur.com ranks as one of the 101 best franchises to own. Enhance Wood Renewal. To learn more, visit NHANCEFranchise.com/hack. That's EnhanceFranchise.com/hack. The unprecedented demand, as well as being an authorized service provider of the Home Depot, helps one in four new Enhance franchisees gross over $280,000 in their first year, with established franchisees grossing over $500,000 annually. Enhance offers low startup costs, in-house financing, and world-class training to get your franchise started right. Visit enhancefranchise.com/hack or simply call 866-426-2631 now and see how you can change your lifestyle and grow your income. We're back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very, very special guest. Sophia, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, John. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I'm excited you're here. We had talked about this months ago, and now I finally tracked you down. So this is going to be fun.
Yeah, over tapas in Barcelona, which is even more fun.
That's true. That's true. All right, Sophia, let's jump into this. So I know you wear many hats, but today we are talking to Sophia, the entrepreneur. Can you tell me, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I sleep 8 hours a night. So I know that sounds like really basic, but I realized like the last year especially that I really need sleep in order to like be a high performer. And so that's something that I've made more of a priority in my life.
Wow. So do you go to bed earlier or wake up later?
I wake up later. I'm not a miracle morning person over here.
Wow. That's cool. So okay, this is fascinating and it's a cool answer. I like it. So to be this high performer that you saw yourself as, you figured you have to, you were getting what, 6 hours before, seven?
Yeah.
Or just random?
And like for years working at offices and having to like get up at 6:30 and put on a suit and heels and go to an office, like work from 8 to 5 or 6. I just realized like I was operating at this like deficient level, right? And so when I became an entrepreneur, the time freedom was something that I really, really appreciate. And even in just like the last year, like I said, I really feel like getting sleep and honoring my body in that way has allowed me to be a lot more productive in like shorter spurts of time and be really focused. And so I'm not forced to sit in front of a computer for 8 or 10 hours anymore. And so I don't.
that's one of the benefits, isn't it?
Right. Like I need to get up and walk in the middle of the day. I'll like pound out a couple hours of work and then I'll need a change of scenery. So I'll walk to the coffee shop and work from there for a few hours. And yeah, just like being able to be in control of my schedule has been so huge, and just being able to sleep as much as I need to and being able to, I mean, I still feel like I've been pounding the pavement pretty hard the last few weeks, but that's because I know that I have a lot of travel coming up the next few weeks. So I'm going to be headed to New York and then I get back and my mom's headed to visit me in Austin and then I go visit a friend in San Diego. And so I kind of work in these like little bursts, and I'm just realizing how when I get more sleep and honor my body, I really can crank out a lot of work in 4 hours, way more than I would in a like a typical, 8 or 10 hour day. Wow. Of just like having to be in front of my computer for that time.
I love it. And when you mentioned like sometimes you'll go to a coffee shop or do this, like do you find that change of scenery can sort of get you moving?
Absolutely. Yeah. So a lot of times for me, starting is hard. And so I'll use the Pomodoro app on my phone, which I really like, to just get started on a project that, I'm putting off, or to just jump into, okay, I'm just going to be in my email inbox for 25 minutes and see what I can get done. And so that's one thing that works really well for me. And then the other thing is sometimes I just go stir crazy and I work from home. And so I like working from coffee shops a lot in the afternoon. So I like having low key mornings and working from my yoga pants and, in my living room. And then I like being able to like close the laptop, go out, get some lunch, sit in a coffee shop for a few hours and work on a couple other things. Come home, have a few client meetings. Yeah, it's good.
Nice. I love it. Pomodoro is what, 25 minutes on and 5 minutes off?
Yeah. Yeah. And the app that I have on my phone is really nice because you can change that too. So sometimes I'll do like longer cycles, like 45 minute cycles or 50 minute cycles, and kind of get into the flow of things and then take like a 10 minute break. But that has been really helpful in starting on projects, because sometimes I think like this is going to take me 5 hours. And it never does, right? Like once I like
it never does.
Right. Like 45 minutes in, I'm like, oh, I'm almost done with this. I guess I'll just finish it. Right.
That's cool. I like it. So you found basically what works for you and you're willing to try new things until you find that.
Yeah. I mean, I think like as an entrepreneur, we always have to like be willing to try new things. And failure is just part of the process. So we just are like, oh, that didn't work. Okay, what's next? Like what's gonna work? What's gonna be the thing, right?
Exactly. So during that, you mentioned like when you became an entrepreneur, and then before that, you mentioned like working in an office all day. So there must have been some time, and there seems to be some time in like every entrepreneur's life when they've realized one of two things, it seems. Usually they either have this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or as mostly seems to be the case, they find that they just can't work for somebody else anymore. So could you take us back, Sophia, to when you discovered this about yourself? And then tell us which side of the fence you see yourself on.
I think I'm a combo, actually. And I've found that a lot of women are. Like, we don't really set out to be entrepreneurs, but then a series of events happens and it's like, oh, duh, this makes sense. Like I should have been doing this for a while. I think that for me, I really wanted to bring financial planning to Gen Y to empower my generation. And I didn't get a lot of fulfillment working in traditional financial planning and helping a bunch of rich old white guys get richer. And so that wasn't like feeding my soul. But
shocking.
In the meantime, yeah, like, exactly. In the meantime, I had friends and peers that were coming to me being like, hey, do you know like the difference between a 401k and a Roth IRA? Like, can you help me with that? Or, hey, I have a lot of student loans. Like, do you know anything about those? Like, how should I pay those off? Or, hey, you bought a house when you were really young. How did you do that? And so I really wanted to answer those questions for people. And I actually was on Twitter and found out about this company called LearnVest, which was a fintech startup. And they were hiring for CFPs. So I'm a certified financial planner. And they were hiring in New York. And I lived in Minneapolis at the time. And I at the time, the company was geared towards women in their 20s to their 40s. And I was like, oh my God, like I have to do this. Like I was a double major in theater and women's studies in college. Like this is the perfect company for me to work for. Like I was so excited. And I sent this cover letter that was like, I understand this position is based in New York, but I'd really like the opportunity to work remotely. And they hired me, which was like completely crazy to me because here I was just, I felt like, oh, I'm just like this girl from Minnesota that does theater things and happened to get her CFP in the meantime. And I actually had like 5 years of experience and my CFP and have been working with clients for quite a while. And so anyway, I go and I work at this fintech startup for a while, and I did it for like a year, and it kicked my butt. And it was so many things that I, you know, I just had no idea I was getting into. I'd never worked for a startup before. And, you know, you're just like thrown into things really quickly. I met a bunch of great people. I was working with a really smart, young team, a lot of women on the team, which, you know, in financial planning, I would go to these conferences and it would be like, I joke that when I write a book, it's going to be called Swimming Through the Blue Shirts. Because it's just like a bunch of men in blue shirts that are all my dad's age, right? And then like me, like, just hanging out, trying to find the kids table, you know, like the other like five people under 40. And so I got this opportunity to work remotely for a company, but do work that was more meaningful to me. And so I did that for like a year, but ultimately there was a lot of things that I was seeing through the hundreds of clients that I was talking to that I really wanted to gear my practice towards helping young clients, towards working with millennials. And because I was talking to people every day, I really was able to build a service model around them and around, I would say I work with a lot of young Gen Xers too. So the majority of my clients, all of my clients are in their mid-20s to their early 40s. I would say the majority of my client base is in their 30s. And I just really, really am passionate about helping people and answering those important financial questions. And so that's kind of why I decided to start my business. But I was scared, right? Like I really knew that I needed to transition out of the startup that I was at. But I was so terrified to start my own thing. And I remember going out with my mentor and he was like, what's the worst thing that could happen? And I'm like, oh, that I'll fail, that I won't make any money, that no one will want to work with me, that I'm too young, that I don't have enough experience, that I, you know, like I just vomited all of my fears to him. I was like, oh yeah, like these are all of the things. Oh yeah, I've thought through every single thing that could go wrong, right? And he was just like, no, Sophia, the worst thing that can happen is you'll have to get a job in financial planning, which is what you're thinking about doing right now. And I was like, oh, I can do that. Like, you know, like,
it's like, an interesting perspective on it, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just like, you know, my friends and I like to say, like, if plan B doesn't suck, just go with plan A, you know, because it was just like, oh, okay, I guess that wasn't so bad. Huh. You know, so you start to realize that like these risks that we think of are really not as big of risks as we might have first thought. And now I view risk entirely differently. So still so many people will say like, oh, it's so brave of you to start your own company, or it's so bold for you to have your own business. And I think it's so terrifying that you work for one company that could fire you at any moment and you could lose 100% of your income.
Exactly. Exactly. So what possessed you to start Gen Y Planning in the way that you did rather than like the traditional model of like set up an office and bring people in and like the way that it's done 99.999% of the time?
Yeah, money. So lack of resources. So I went from a startup that had, you know, at the time raised $25 million in venture capital to being like, I am funding this with 10 grand, you know, like $5,000 up front and $5,000 over the next 6 months. Let's make it work. And I'm starting with 0 clients and 0 assets, because unlike entrepreneurs that can build side businesses, like while they're working full time for another employer and then make the leap, like I would have loved to do. When you work as a financial planner, you oftentimes have a do not compete or, you know, cannot like legally start taking on your own clients while you are working for an RIA, for a registered investment advisor.
Right. So not like if you were a graphic designer, you can start taking clients on the side through 99 Designs and start a site.
Right. Exactly. So I didn't have that same luxury. And so I was like, okay, well, if I don't have an office, like offices are expensive. So if I don't have one and work from home, that'll save me money. If I don't have staff, that will save me money. So like those are like the two biggest expenses that most people have. Right.
Right.
And then, you know, I had a friend of mine do my website, and I just started, you know, I had for the past 6 months been calling other financial planners and been like, hey, how did you do that? Like, what are you doing? Like, what do I do about this? Compliance, what do I do about that? Like, oh, you need a compliance consultant. Oh, those exist? Fantastic, you know? So like gathering all of the pieces. And then once I did that, like 6 months after I launched my firm, I actually wrote an article for my friend Michael Kitsis for his website called How I Launched My Own RIA with Less Than $10,000, because so many people were coming to me saying like, hey, I want to do that. And so I've had over like 400 people reach out to me about that one article.
Wow.
Because so, it's like a 4,000 word post, right? I'm just like, this is what I did.
Yeah. How's the reaction when you reach out to another like financial planner and ask them, how do you do this?
Yeah. So I was very fortunate because I think that this new wave of financial planners, like those of us that are, you know, in our, I would say like the Gen X and Gen Y financial planners, are really coming from like an abundance mentality. And we're really giving and helpful with resources and whatnot. And I actually put together a small mastermind group of other young financial planners that were also launching their own firms or had just launched their own firms so that we could learn from each other. And it was so fantastic because we helped each other get clients. We helped each other get speaking gigs. We helped each other get press. And so we just really supported each other, and it really helped catapult all of our careers.
Wow. I love it. It's awesome. It is. It's you said at the beginning, it's that abundance mentality, right? That's not just, there's only so much work around. We need to just keep all of our secrets.
Right. Exactly.
That's the blue shirt philosophy, I think.
Totally. Right. So I think there are millions of millennials that are interested in having financial planning advice. And I don't want a million clients.
Right.
So I need help. Right. So I'm really excited to hear other people launching their own firms and being able to help more people. I also think that financial planning is reaching subsects of people and groups of people that it never has before. You know, the majority of my clients are first generation or immigrants. A lot of my clients are six-figure income earners, but also haven't had time to accumulate as many assets yet. And so it's getting to be the first financial planner that they ever worked with. And to me, that's super exciting. And to be able to completely redesign how the conversations I have with my clients and what my financial plans look like is exciting, because they don't have this predetermined idea in their mind that I should be giving them quarterly investment reports, for example, which is something that a lot of financial planners do. And just something that I didn't see a lot of value in doing. And so I don't focus on that. I focus on, you know, how can we use your money to match your values to help you live an amazing life?
I love it. So succinct. So at the beginning, you said your one thing is just 8 hours of sleep, allows you to work to your full potential. Now, every business expert out there, Sophia, as you probably know, talks about the 80-20 rule. You're supposed to do 20% of the work to get 80% of the results. You're supposed to do what you're good at and delegate the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Sophia, can you tell me something in your business that you are absolutely not good at?
Yes, there are many.
That's a good preface.
Yeah. I am not... Yeah, there's just so many things that I'm not good at that I hire people for, because I'm trying to think of like the best way to go about this. So a few different things come to mind. So I am not as good at the check-ins, at the like follow through. I'm really good at landing the client, doing the initial financial plan, And so I knew that I needed to hire Alex, who's my associate planner, who helps me look at the calendar every month and see who we need to have client check-in meetings with. Because that kind of follow through is one of the things my clients are paying me for. And I knew that I needed to get better at that because I was just focused on like landing the next client.
Wow. That's cool. So you've hired somebody who can replace you in certain ways, but also bring you in when needed.
So yeah. So she has gone through all of her CFP classes as well. And she's working on her experience requirement. So she really wanted to work with a CFP where she could, you know, she sits in on a bunch of my client meetings. She preps my financial plans. She helps me with some of the follow-up. She helps me, you know, helps me with the check-in meetings. And so I knew that one of my weaknesses was that I was kind of losing, you know, I wasn't being diligent about making sure that my clients are coming in like twice a year for meetings and doing check-ins and whatnot. Because as you know, people in their 20s and 30s, our lives change like every 3 to 6 months, right? Like something's happened. People are like getting married, having babies, moving, buying homes, selling homes, quitting their jobs, starting businesses. Actually, it's like 3 of those things the same year, you know? So like for my clients at least. And so I realized that I really needed help with that. And so it's been really fun to have her on my team. And eventually I really want her to be able to take on clients under my brand as well. And we can kind of, you know, hire another person to help us prep for meetings and train them in on how we work with clients and really, you know, be stronger together as a team. I think it's really important to hire people that complement you. And I think she does that very well.
Nice. I love it. I love it. It seemed like a struggle to answer what you're not good at, but that was a great answer. It was excellent.
Well, you know, because then there's the whole like content side of things, right? So like my content manager is, you know, she's been doing my newsletter for the last year and a half and she does my newsletter better than me. You know, so like when I've delegated my newsletter to her, I'm like, oh my God, it's so much more interesting now to read my newsletter because Sarah is so much better at it. Instead, I'm like excited to be published again in Forbes. And she'd be like, hey, all you millennials out there interested in, you know, knowing, like learning which apps, like, you know, to manage your money better, check out this latest post from Forbes, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, that's exciting and interesting. Like,
yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So
yeah,
there's Alex and then there's your content manager,
Sarah. Yeah. And so the two of them kind of make up my small virtual team. I also have a marketing strategist. I hired a lawyer this year. That's like a big freaking deal, yeah. Right? When you're like, I should get a lawyer.
Just in case.
And yeah. And yeah. And so I feel like I have this really great virtual team. And, you know, I absolutely love Sarah and Alex, and I have them part-time right now. And it's just figuring out how to scale the business at a pace that makes sense to eventually bring them on in an even bigger capacity in the future. So that's really fun. And they, you know, live in different places as well. So I'm in Austin, Alex is in Oklahoma, and Sarah is in Washington, D.C.
Nice. Distributed teams. I like it. So let's move, if we can, Sophia, to projects.
Yeah.
Projects is a very loose term, but it would be cool if we could talk about your new course. You just launched,
yeah.
I'm going to call it a flagship sort of course for your...
Ooh, I like that. Now. I'm going to call it that too now.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's Smart and Easy Retirement Planning for Millennials.
Correct.
So you have a team now, you have a business that's running, that's dealing one-on-one with clients.
Yes.
And now you've gone to like a digital education sort of, this is a whole new sort of branch of your business. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to know what the process was, whether it's a written process or like an internal gut process you had, but what was the process you went through to determine that this was a worthwhile project, not just for you, but also for you and your team?
Yeah. So I had this idea of launching a course like a year and a half ago. And because I really want to help reach more millennials with their money. So if I want to reach 1,000 people, but I don't want to have 1,000 clients, I feel like courses were a really great next step in order for me to be able to do that, to really provide that financial education that people were asking for that maybe couldn't afford my one-on-one services. Or maybe weren't ready to make, you know, that kind of investment, or didn't know, you know, or maybe they were embarrassed of their financial situation and they they wanted to kind of go through something on their own first. So I had kind of been throwing this idea around for a while, but I kind of wanted to get to my financial planning business in a place that I felt like I could start carving out some time to be able to invest in putting time into this course. So I really last year worked hard on my kind of one thing was just land 2 new clients a month. Because if I could land 2 new clients a month, I would get to a certain revenue by the end of the year that I would feel good about going into 2016. And then 2016 came and I was like, you know, I'm still on the phone talking to a lot of people that aren't quite ready for financial planning, aren't the best fit. And I really like feel like this course would be really helpful for them, or I need to do some sort of money course, but I didn't know what. So I had just hired a marketing strategist, Kendra, and she was able to tell me, okay, if you're spending too much time on the phone with unqualified leads, we need to first build out an application for people to apply to become a client of Gen Y Planning. So she helped me build out a Google form, and by creating a process around my prospective clients and really streamlining that using tech tools, and now being able to have other members of my team be able to, you know, review the applications and send them an email either, yes, you're a great fit to become an ongoing client, here's a link to Sophia's calendar, or hey, it looks like you should get started with a quick start session, which is a one-time financial planning session. It's $499 and we can dive deep in 2 to 3 topics. Let me know if you want to get started and my team can pitch that via email. It really started to free up my time to be able to invest in this course. And so then the next thing we did was we surveyed my list and we figured out what do people want to know about? Because in my mind, I'm like, millennials and money, this is this giant topic. How do I break this down? Like this sounds,
exactly.
I'm just like, I don't know where to start. And Kendra's like, no, you don't need to decide. Like we just survey your list. We let the data decide. And I was like, oh, she's like, yeah, I only make decisions with data. And I was like, oh, this is fascinating. So we surveyed the list and almost 40% of the people that filled out the survey said that they really wanted to learn more about retirement planning and investing. And so that's what we decided to build the first course on. And then we spent then Alex and I were kind of the financial planning side of things would just spend a lot of time doing like brain dumps into Google documents of IRAs. Okay, what's everything people need to know about IRAs? We got Roths, we got rollovers, we got, you know, so we're just like diving into IRAs. And so we would put together this information into an outline, and then Sarah, my content manager, would take that information in the Google Doc and put that into PowerPoint slides. And then I would record the PowerPoint. I would record my voice talking over the PowerPoint slides and adding in little tidbits and whatnot. And that's kind of how we put the course together. And then Kendra told me I needed to hire a copywriter to write the copy for the emails for the sales emails we were going to send out. So then I found a great copywriter, Rebecca, to write the sales emails. And so then she was working on that part while we were working on the course stuff. And then of course, you know, it's like 2 months delayed because this is way bigger thing than I think that it is, right? So there's like all these little hiccups along the way. But my big goal this year was to get it to launch a course and to get it out. And so I'm so excited that it's live. So if you go to genyplanning.com/retire, you will find Smart and Easy Retirement Planning for Millennials, the course. And I'm just really excited that I have this digital product now because I feel like it really opens me up to being able to help more people and scale my business in a new and different way and build out more courses in the future that can really address the needs of my generation.
Yeah, I love it.
Thanks.
It's the idea of wanting to help 1,000 people too and not wanting to take on 1,000 clients.
Right. And like, how can I, what are the questions that come up over and over and over again about retirement planning, and how can we make them understandable and digestible, and what will, you know, what makes sense? So like one thing that Alex suggested that I think was fabulous was doing a case study or some sort of story at the end, tying together all these concepts. And so we added a module at the end that I wasn't planning on in the beginning that was a fabulous addition to the course because it ties together like, here's what happens if you roll over your 401k versus if Christina would have cashed out her 401k and how much money would have gone to taxes and penalties. And instead, if she doesn't, this is how her retirement could look.
I love it. I love it. Do you feel like it's been successful so far?
Yeah, I feel like it's had a lot of growing pains. I didn't hit the numbers that I, you know, wanted to, as, you know, but I feel like it's out there. Right. And that there, what's great about it is I have a product now and we can build an email sales funnel around it and we can keep tweaking things and making things better as we learn and grow. And there's all these things that you don't know until you launch and that I'm figuring out. So I had this wonderful person email me that said, "Hey, Sophia, I'm really interested in buying your course. I'm deaf and I'm wondering if I'll be able to follow along your course in your, you know, in your course, or if there's a script that goes along, you know, transcripts that go along with it or anything like that." And I was like, this is such a fabulous question. I said, you know, most of it is actually me kind of reading over the slides. And so the content is really on the slides, as opposed to just like an image where I'm, you know, talking over the image. And so I said, I actually think it'll be pretty easy for you to follow along, but let me know how we can make this more accessible to the deaf community. And she was just like, "Thank you so much. Like, I don't know any financial planner who's trying to create content that's accessible for the deaf community." I was just like, "Well, this is important and you are interested in it. So yeah, let's do it." And so I just like brought it up with my team and they're like, "Yep, when we revamp, once we get feedback and if we want to re-record some of the modules, I think we should do that. And then we should do scripts and we should have somebody to do transcripts for it. And then we'll just always have that as part of our process of whenever we do courses, we also do transcripts."
Yeah, that's smart. So I actually did a course with Copyblogger Media.
Okay.
And everything they do, and I do it now too with my own courses, but I didn't do this before, but they make PDFs of all the PDFs of all the PowerPoints that you do. They transcribe all the audio and make that downloadable. And then they also do just an audio version as well that's downloadable, like a podcast version. So it's all one piece of content, but in like four different ways, every single thing that gets created.
I love that because they're already creating it, right? So like, and it's like how you consume things changes, or how different people consume things in different ways. Like that's, I learned, like I learned that I'm really auditory, right? So like I love podcasts, but I will play YouTube videos in the background of me doing something else. Like I don't need to watch the YouTube video. I just want to listen to it while, you know? And so like, I want to listen to the TED Talk. I don't necessarily need to see it.
Exactly.
Which is really interesting.
That's the thing, but we create these courses and it's a video. So we think that everybody should consume it in video. It's like, well, why don't we leave it up to them to consume it how they want?
Totally. I love that.
And lots of people are driving and commuting and it's like, I can't watch a video and drive, right? But I can listen to you in audio and then I could read the transcript if I want. So it's just something I learned and I think you've just learned too. And it's a smart way to do.
Yeah.
All right, Sophia, this has been an absolute blast.
Yeah.
So we've got to talk about your course now. At genyplanning.com/retire.
Mm-hmm.
But what about Gen Y Planning? Since we passed over it a few times, could you specifically tell the listener, give them the pitch, if you will, and then where they can track that and you down online?
Yeah. So I launched genyplanning.com 3.5 years ago to help young professionals with their money and really maximize their financial situation so that they can reach their goals even faster. And I'm really focused on the conversations that we have and these, you know, really touching on all these different areas of financial planning. So with my ongoing clients, I help them with their company benefits packages, talk about career planning, a debt repayment strategy, cash flow, insurance, investments, tax planning, and estate planning. And so all of those things kind of go into the financial planning process. And so I work with a select number of clients on a one-on-one basis. I only usually take on 1 to 2 new clients a month. One of the things that's kind of unique about my business is I charge an upfront planning fee followed by a monthly retainer, as opposed to most financial planners that either charge solely on assets or charge like a hidden commission or fee to work with you. I like to charge, just be very transparent about it and charge a fee for a service. So that's how I work. My company is called genyplanning.com. If you go to genyplanning.com/apply, you can apply to become a client. And I'm on Twitter all the time. So if you're interested in following me there, you can follow me at Sophia Behra, SophiaBehra.
I love it. I love it. So Sophia, you spend a lot of time on Twitter. I know you're a fan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great place for people to reach out to you if they have follow-up questions or want to just tell you how awesome you are.
Yeah. Or ideas for blog posts or, you know, other things you'd like to see. So yeah, I'm just really curious about, you know, that conversation or articles that they think my readers would like. So feel free to tweet me that stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. GenYPlanning.com is the main website. You can do GenYPlanning.com/retire or /apply. If you want to get the course or you want to apply to be a client, Sophia Behra is on Twitter. And we mentioned the Pomodoro app. I'm going to find a link to that and I'll put all those into the show notes on hacktheentrepreneur.com for you when you're done walking, biking, driving, whatever it is you happen to be doing right now. Sophia.
Yes.
Once again, thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for sharing. This has been awesome. I really appreciate it.
This is great. Yeah.
And, just keep doing what you're doing. It's awesome and inspiring Thanks. To watch. So just, keep it up.
Oh, thank you so much. Honestly, I'm so honored that you had me on the show. And I think that, you know, it's really incredible to hear other people's stories. And so I'm just honored that you wanted to give me the opportunity to share mine. So thank you.
You're welcome. Sophia, thank you so much for joining me. That was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed that. Again, we've been supposed to do this for months, talk to you and have you on the show. And so it was great to finally get to do it. It was finally great to get to share Sophia and her wisdom, her knowledge, her expertise, her just niceness with you out there. I hope that you enjoyed that conversation as much as I enjoyed being part of it. It was enlightening to me, and I don't know, her, she's, you know, it's kind of an infectious sort of vibe she gives off, which is really, really cool. So we've reached the point now in the show where I have to go back, right? I have to go back through the show and listen to it as you heard it and see if there's anything there I could find. So I went back, and then I went back again. That second time I went through the show, there was this one thing that Sophia said. When she said it, it was just so very, very, very clear to me that I don't even know how I missed it the first time through. But it was there. It was just sitting there, that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
My friends and I like to say, like, if plan B doesn't suck, just go with plan A. You know, because it was just like, oh, okay, I guess that wasn't so bad. Huh. You know, so you start to realize that, like, these risks that we think of are really not as big of risks as we might have first thought. And now I view risk entirely differently. So still so many people will say, like, oh, it's so brave of you to start your own company, or it's so bold for you to have your own business. And I think it's so terrifying that you work for one company that could fire you at any moment and you could lose 100% of your income.
And that's the hack. Sophia, Sophia, Sophia. I love this. I love this so much. So if plan B doesn't suck, go with plan A. This is the entrepreneur's mindset, right? This is the mindset that we all have once we've taken that leap to become the entrepreneurs. And most of the time, there's no going back. Because as Sophia goes on to say, she's like, I view risk entirely differently. And so I talk to people who haven't sort of taken that leap yet to just jump into entrepreneurship, and they view risk differently. And I think it's impossible to view risk the way we do as entrepreneurs if you are not yet taking that risk and going to plan A, even as long as plan B doesn't suck, right? And it's once you take that leap that your mindset just completely shifts and you see the other side, that having a quote-unquote good, steady job as more risky than what you do. But it's so hard to see when you are in the job and you've never taken that leap because you think, well, who's going to pay me? Where's the money going to come from? And it's just funny. This mindset shift, just it happens. When that shift, when you take the leap and you realize that actually you're safer when it's up to you when you are now solely responsible for everything, where I don't have to worry during the weekend if I'm going to show up on Monday morning and there's going to be a pink slip. Actually, I think I heard they give pink slips on Friday because it's apparently less confrontational. So people, they can just get rid of them over the weekend. But whatever. So it's, if I'm Thursday night, I don't have to worry, like, I wonder if I'll get laid off tomorrow. That's not going to happen. That's impossible, right? I mean, my business might start not doing as well, but I could start another business. I could find new marketing channels. I could create new products. There's all kinds of different things. And your mindset, I really honestly don't believe it can change before you take that leap. And I love the way Sophia says, I view risk completely differently now. And it was because of that leap that your mindset changes on risk. I hope that makes sense. It's like you can't do it without taking that leap. You cannot see it from the other side until you step over to the other side. And then, unfortunately, there's not really any way of going back. Because now you just become the ranks of the unemployable. And you just create stuff and build businesses. It's not a bad place to be. All right, Sophia. Thank you so much again. That was a lot of fun. All right, hacktheentrepreneur.com. Head over there. Check out the show notes for Sophia. And we'll put links to, I think we talked about, well, her business and the genyplanning.com/retire, which I believe is the new course, Pomodoro app, which she talked about, as well as links to her on social media. And because I've mentioned this a few times, but this whole Dynamite Circle thing, it's where I met her in Barcelona a few months ago over lunch at a Dynamite Circle conference there in June. And that's how I met her and got her on the show. There's been a couple of people actually from the Dynamite Circle on the show recently. But once again, I will link to that and you can check it out and see if it's right for you. All right. It's been fun. As always, I hope you 100% know how much I value you stopping by. There's a lot of choices, a lot of podcasts out there, but it's very cool that you come and hang out with me for half hour or so. All right. It's been fun. Thank you so very much. I truly do appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.